Let me say this, if Calvary don't thrill you, you do need revival. And if it don't touch your heart, you might just need to get saved, amen. And boy, I'm thankful for that tonight. And I don't want to spend a lot of time preliminaries. I feel like God's here, amen. So like Gomer said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for everything, amen. Genesis 45, I want to read one verse just for sake of time and give you what God's put on my heart tonight. I'm honored to be here, and we seek to have the Lord's help this week. Genesis 45 and verse number 1, and I'll read this one verse for our text, but we'll be preaching through this chapter tonight, the Lord being our helper. The Bible said, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, called us every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. I'm interested in this phrase. While Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. I want to preach on this thought tonight. Oh, I want to see him. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd add your blessing to reading your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs of Zion. Lord, my heart's been helped and encouraged tonight. Thank you for the good songs concerning Calvary. And Lord, I thank you for helping us through the storms. Lord, I pray for the next little while, Lord, you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill us with thy spirit. Give us a traveling mind in the scriptures. Get glory to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for staying for the reading of God's word. You may be seated. If you're here tonight in Monday Night Revival, obviously Joseph is no stranger to you in the word of God. It's interesting to me that Joseph is one of the best types of Christ in the Old Testament other than the tabernacle himself. Mr. John Butler said in his book, there are over 100 different ways that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to our text here, we find that Joseph is revealing himself to his brethren. You remember who Joseph is? He was the favored son of his father, Jacob. He is the one who Jacob gave the coat of many colors. He is the one who was forsaken by his brethren. They stripped him of that coat and they threw him down in that pit and then they brought him up, sold him into slavery, went to Egypt and was lied on by Potiphar's wife, went down into the prison. God raised him up and now he is sitting on the throne in Egypt. Let me say that picture's our Savior. He was favored by his father. He came into his own and his own received him not. He was cast down into a pit. He made his grave with the wicked and vile, but I'm glad he got up, praise God. And he did go to a foreign land and take a Gentile bride. And I'm glad he is on the throne tonight. But when I come to this text, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day and we was talking concerning this text and he made a statement. I began to work in my mind. Joseph here in Genesis 45, his brethren, they have not seen him. And if I can figure it out, some 17 years. They've not seen Joseph for who he is. They've not recognized him. They stood before him in Genesis 43 and Genesis 44, but they don't know who he is because he has the Egyptian garments and no doubt he is aged and he does not look the same. But all here in our text, they see Joseph for who he really is. The Bible said he made himself known unto his brethren. They had not seen Joseph for a long time, but here Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. I don't know about you, but it's been a while since I've seen God in some places. That's why we have revival. It seems like we've not seen him as bright. We've not seen his glory. We've not seen his presence. We've not seen his majesty like we have. But oh, I believe tonight, and I believe in these days, that God wants to reveal himself. Jesus wants to reveal himself to his brethren. I'm glad tonight he is better than the best, higher than the highest, greater than the greatest. It won't do us any good this week to see a preacher, to see a choir, to see a singer, but I'm telling you, if any help will come this week, it'll come by seeing him. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Oh, I want to see him. I appreciate seeing you here tonight. I appreciate seeing every one of you, but if nobody else came tonight, I want to see him because he's the only one who's worthy of all glory and praise and honor and majesty. We need to see him tonight. Now, as I read Genesis 45, I see some things that have to happen that happen when Joseph revealed himself, and it will happen when Jesus reveals himself. Number one, before Joseph revealed himself, there was a removal. Look in verse number 1. The Bible said, then Joseph could not refrain himself before them all, that stood by and before them all that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. What got my mind thinking this direction is talking to my friend. He said, ain't it interesting, before Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, all the Egyptians had to leave. You know, Egypt is a type and a picture of the world. Let me say this. If we're going to see God in our churches again, if we're going to see God move in revival, we're going to have to get the world out of our churches. Can I get amen? I ain't talking about sinners, friend. I'm talking about the worldly influences and the worldly practices. Amen. I find there's three things about this. Number one, Joseph was specific about it. He said, cause every man to go out from me. You know, the Bible teaches us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm afraid our churches, you've heard it said before, our churches has got so worldly and the world has got so churchy, you can't tell the two apart anymore. I'm telling you, we're living in a day where you can't tell a church from a nightclub, you can't tell a preacher from a drug dealer, you can't tell a problem around here. But I'm just talking about across the board. If we're going to see God move, it will not be in worldly fashion, it will not be in worldly power, it'll not be in the works of man, but it'll be by getting the things of the world out. He was specific about it. But then he was serious about it. He said, calls every man. That word calls a very strong word in the text. He said, calls every man to go out. I'm telling you, it's about time we get serious about sin. You know what we're guilty of doing? You know what I'm guilty of doing? Boy, we'll get rid of those big sins in our life, but we'll keep those two or three little things that we like, that we hold dear to our heart. We'll keep that CD or that movie or that outfit or those acquaintances or whatever that is in your life, that sin that so easily besets us. You got them whether you want to admit it or not. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's the time we get serious about it. If we're going to see God move in revival this week, if we're going to see God move in these days, we're going to have to deal with our sin and deal with the world and get it out. Amen. Now stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Amen. I'm telling you, we're living in a day where now our churches, I'm talking about good, fundamental, independent Baptist churches, King James only, have now gone the other way. They're trying to change. Well, we got to reach people. I'm all for reaching people, but you don't have to change to reach people. The Bible still works. Preaching still works. Singing still works. Let me say this. You don't need this new contemporary stuff coming in. You don't need to move the pulpit out of the way and put a stool up and share. I'm telling you, old time preaching still works, praise God. Don't tell me it don't work. I'm telling you, God is moving in our church, and I thank God for that. And it's not just old people coming that like it. We got young people coming in. You know what they're looking for? They're not looking for the smokes and the light. They're looking for something that's real. And we've got it. We've got it. We've got it. And in fact, it don't got us. We don't have it. It's got us, praise God. He was specific, he was serious, but I love this. When they all went out, he was set apart. The Bible said, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And I'm telling you, when Jesus reveals himself, you won't be able to see anybody else. It won't be leaving saying, man, what a preacher. It won't be what a singer. It won't be what a testimony, but it'll be what a Savior, what a God, what a Master, what a Lord. I'm telling you, I got a real problem when people are more excited about the preacher than they are the one who he preaches about. I'm telling you, and I'm trying to be careful. We got too much Hollywood evangelism. We've got too much of the world. And I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of preachers taking selfies every 30 seconds, promoting themselves and thinking they're all that in a sack of potato chips. We better remember where we was when God found us. We was on the very bottom, headed for hell, but he saved us, picked us up, washed us in the blood of the Lamb of God, gave us a free ticket to heaven. And the Bible still says that no flesh should glory in his presence. If you forget me, that's all right. But if you forget him, you've missed it all. He was set apart. The Bible said that in all things, can I say second? All things, he might have the preeminence in Colossians. So there's a removal. Can I say secondly in our text in verses 3 and 4, there is a revelation. Once there is a removal, he begins to reveal himself to his brethren. Boy, I like this. I see, first of all, there involves identity. Look what he said in verse number 3, now I'm a Bible preacher, I can't help it, it's all right here in the text, look at it. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Right there, he lets them know, I want you to know who I am. And I'll be honest with you, I know the phrase leading into Joseph's name is to lead it. But when I saw that I am, it reminded me of somebody. It reminded me of a burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses said, God tells Moses, you lead my people out. Moses said, there's only one problem. If they ask me who sent me, and they're Baptists, they are going to ask questions. Who am I going to tell them sent me? He said, you tell them I am that I am. Let me say, I'm glad he is the great I am. He's not the great I was, not the great I used to be, or the great I'm going to be. But I'm glad in John 6:35, he said, I'm the bread of life. John 8:12, he's the light. He said, I am the light of the world. John 10:9, he said, I am the door. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. And John 14:6, I am the way, the truth and the life. I'm telling you, he is the great I am tonight. He is self-existent. He is sovereignly eternal. And he is a serious expert tonight. He's God all by himself. And all by himself, he's God. I'm telling you, he is the great I am tonight. And I'm telling you, when Jesus reveals himself, when God reveals himself to us, we'll see him for who he really is. There's an identity involved. Then there's an interrogation involved. Look what he said in verse number 3. Doth my father yet live? This is very interesting that Joseph would ask this, because in Genesis 44, he hears his brethren make reference to his father still being alive. So Joseph knows that Jacob is alive. Now, I was wondering, why did he ask that question? Well, two things. Number one, he knew they were liars. And so I guess he wanted to make sure they were telling the truth. But then could it be, he said, doth my father yet live? And when he said father, their minds immediately went back to their father, Jacob. And let me say this, when God comes in, when the Holy Spirit of God comes in, he won't speak of himself, but he'll point the glory back to the Father, back to Christ, back to Jesus. We got movements running around praising the Holy Ghost. He don't praise himself. He don't speak of himself, but he shoves all the glory to the Savior. And I'm telling you, I'm glad when I come to church and I hear the Word of God open and I hear the songs of Zion sung, it clicks a button in my mind that reminds me, yes, God's still alive. Yes, he's still on the throne. Yes, he's still in charge. There's identity, there's an interrogation. Can I say this? There's an invitation in verse 4. Oh, look at it. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray thee. I pray you. You know, that's what God's saying to your heart this week in revival. Would you come near? You see, when you get those things out of your life, when I get those things out of my life, and he begins to reveal himself to us and show himself for who he really is, you know what he's going to say? And would you come a little closer? That's what revival is. Would you come a little closer? And did not James say it? Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And you know what I love about verse 4? The Bible said, he said, come near to me, I pray you. And I love the next four words. And they came near. I'm telling you, when Jesus reveals himself to us, when we see God for who he really is, it ought to cause us to want to draw closer to him, to scooch up next to him. I like number 6 in the red book. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to draw closer to him, have a more intimate fellowship with him. There's an invitation, interrogation, identity. So there's a removal. There's a revelation. Can I say thirdly, and I hasten, there is a recognition. Verses 5 through 13. I won't take time to read all the verses. We'll hit as we go. But now Joseph begins to speak to them and gives them some knowledge that they previously did not have. But because they recognized him and drew closer to him, I hope we get an amen. When they drew closer, they begin to learn some things they didn't know about him. They begin to learn some things about Joseph that they didn't know. And I'm telling you, there's been some times in my life when I've drawn nigh to God and I've gotten that book and I've learned some things about him that I didn't know. But honey, they were good and they were sweet to my soul. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? I'm talking about that we find he learned that when they drew closer, first they learned about his position. Verse number 8, he said, he's talking to him, he said, so now it was not it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. You know what they realized? They realized that he was Lord over the land of Egypt. And boy, I'm telling you, when we draw nigh to God, we'll be reminded of what the Apostle Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery equal of God, but made himself of no reputation. reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue they should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm glad he's Lord tonight. So he saw his position. I hope you're getting hold of this. Then I see they learned not only about his position, but they learned about his preservation. Boy, I like this in verse number 5. He said, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. And by the way, when you draw closer to him, your flesh will begin to be grieved. He said, boy, I'm not what I ought to be. And that's a good sign, by the way. Amen. He said, now not be grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. I love this. In other words, he was saying, boys, I've been taking care of you and you didn't even know it. Long before you ever stepped foot in Egypt, I was taking care of business because I knew what was coming down the road. He sees what we don't. I got to remind you, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. He knew the famine was coming long before his brethren did. And he said, boys, I knew trouble was coming, so I've been preparing things. I've been preserving you long before you ever knew it. And I'm glad before you ever walked through that valley, before you ever sailed into that storm, God knew right where you was at. God knew what you was going to go through. And he sees you on the other side. I'm glad he does that in salvation, but and service, but I'm glad he done that in salvation. I don't know if anybody knows Brother Dana Williams around here, great preacher. Brother Dana made this statement. I wrote it down. I loved it. He said, God was a saving you before he saved you so he could save you. And after he saved you, he never stopped saving you. Now, I had to chew on that when he first said it. He said, that doesn't mean you have to keep getting saved. He said, but how many of you lived a wicked life before you got saved, drove home drunk at night, stoned out of your mind, should have died in a car wreck, but God was a saving you before he saved you so he could save you. And after he saved you, he never stopped saving you, but he just keeps on saving you. You'll get a hold of that after a while. All those nights you should have died in a car wreck, you should have had a heart attack and dropped dead and went to hell, but God was a saving you before he saved you so he could save you. And then after saving, he just keeps on saving me. I could have had a car wreck coming down the road today. Any one of them cars could have come over and shoved me into the wall and took me out into it. I know where I'm going, but he just keeps on saving me. I thank God for that. Amen. If that ever dawns on you, they'll chase you down the middle of Bowling Springs and shouting, amen. His position, his preservation. But then they learned about his preparation. He said, boys, he said, verse 10 and 11, he said, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. I hope I get an amen right here, and I hope the theologians be kind to me. This is the only time in the Bible that I can kind of see that Egypt's a good place. You know why it's a good place? Anywhere's a good place where Joseph's at. Was not, hey, I just thought of this one in front of you, God, Gomer, and all everybody. What is not David? It said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. He said, I found God down there. And aren't you glad he'll be there? When everybody else walks away, he'll be there, praise God. So with that said, can I say this? He said, boys, I prepared a place for you. He said, now I've argued in myself, could I picture this victorious Christian life? Could I picture heaven? And I like Brother Demon, he said, just use both, amen. That way the ones that like it can pick the one they like, and the ones that don't like can pick the one they don't like. Amen. You know, and they could picture both ways. If they staple, boy, without Joseph, they'd have died. They would not have had any victory. And there's a lot of people, boy, they're in the family, but they're not living with the Son. They're not walking with the Son. They're not laboring. They're not loving the Son. And so they're not going to have any victory. Oh, but he's prepared a place where you can be by him, where he's got plenty of provision, where he'll take care of you and meet your needs. And aren't you glad? I'm about 287. I'm a living in Canaan now, amen. But then it could picture heaven because that's where the Son was at. That's where the throne was at. Amen. I know it's a little different, but my people looked at me like that when I said it too. Amen. I'm just telling you, anywhere where the sun's at, it's all right with me. Amen. I like old Archie Watkins on that 12th anniversary live on the Inspirations. It said it could be a land. I'll shake his hand in the air, maybe the sea. But I don't care as long as Jesus is there. It'll be all right with me.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, so there's a removal. There's a revelation. There's a recognition. Can I say in our text, also I see a revival.
Yeah, that's
good. I see an element of revival in verse 14. There's three elements of it. Number one, it starts with weeping. Look at verse 14. And he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck.
Yeah.
You see, can I say something about revival? What little bit I've read and studied, and I think I've been in a few moves of revival to a certain extent, not a big wave. You understand what I'm saying? I desire that. I desire that this week. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I believe you desire. That's why you're here tonight. But I do know this, it doesn't come with, and I believe in, and please don't get me wrong, I believe God promotes hell, folks, but it don't begin with promotion. It don't begin with, look who's preaching, look who's there. It begins with weeping.
Right.
He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed,
yes,
shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Yes.
And I love how it started with one.
Yeah.
Benjamin's, went to him. He fell on Benjamin first.
Yeah.
And then when he fell on Benjamin, he hugged and wept, and all wept together.
Yeah.
I wonder who will be the Benjamin in this church.
Good.
Who will be the Benjamin in your family?
Yeah.
That'll get a burden set. And the reason I believe, I can't prove it, you can't prove me wrong, but I believe the reason he went to Benjamin first is because Benjamin was the closest.
Right.
That's his. They have the same mother. You remember that.
Yes,
and there's a close kindred. And boy, I want to be so close to him that I can get close and weep and have him weep, and not weeping of sadness, but weeping in brokenness. Weeping is not a sign of weakness. Weeping is a sign of this is too big for me. And boy, when they saw Joseph for who he was, boy, that was too big for them.
Yeah.
It won't be about us. It won't be about. I'm telling you, and I'm trying to be careful here, but I'm telling you, if we're not careful, as preachers, sometimes we'll get, and I'm guilty of this, I'm a young man. It was us, it's not us. It's not us at all. It's not us at all. I wish my generation of preachers my age would get a hold of that. Amen. And I can say that because they're my peers. Amen. It starts with weeping, but you know what happened next? It continued with worship. Notice what it said in verse 15. Moreover, he kissed all of his brethren.
Yes,
did not Psalm 2:12 say, kiss the son, lest he be angry?
Yep.
You see, it begins with weeping, but then it'll go to worshiping.
Yes.
You know what word? It's just loving on him.
Yes.
They hadn't seen him in so long. Are you like me? Are you tired of dead, dry services? I thank God we have good services. I'm tired of having good services. I want to have some God services.
Yes.
Boy, I mean, we had a good day yesterday. Last night was better than yesterday morning. But we had one saved last night, and we rejoice and thank God for that. But I long for it to be every service.
Right.
Somebody said, preacher, it can't be like that every service. Don't tell me that.
Right.
God's as big on Sunday. I know we ain't going to tear the house down every Sunday. By the way, worship is inward. Praise is outward. Before praise breaks out, it ought to start with worship on the inside.
Amen.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Amen.
I enjoy shouting and praising God, and I participate in it. But I've been in some worship services where you could hear a pin drop. I'm not downing shouting. If I see somebody about to shout, I'll ag them on. I like it. But I long for that worship. I long for that communion with God. It goes with weeping. I hope this is making sense. It goes to worshiping. But then it will affect the world. Oh, I love this in verse 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house. You see, when the brethren got excited about seeing the sun, all them Egyptians outside heard about it. Somebody said, preacher, I still understand we ain't getting sinners in here because we look like this all the time. I'm glad I'm saved. You know why they don't want what we got? Because it looks like it's killing us.
Yeah, you're right.
I know there's, well, I am a dummy sometimes. I was born at night, but not last night. And I may be young, but I know there's hard times. I know there's difficult days. But Nehemiah 8 verse 10 did say, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm telling you, if God's people would just get excited about being saved, that their sins are forgiven, that they're washed in the blood, the Egyptians out there, Pharaoh's house will hear, and they'll want to get in on it. In fact, Pharaoh wanted to know all about it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It will affect the world when real revival comes. Can I say this? And number five, and I'm done. I appreciate your attention tonight. There's a removal. There's a revelation. There's a recognition. I'm talking about when God reveals himself, you'll recognize. There'll be a revival. There'll be weeping and worshiping. It'll affect the world. But last of all, and this is usually what we don't like, when he reveals himself to us, there's a responsibility. Look what he said. And I ain't going to read the verse for the sake of time, but verses 17 through the remainder of the chapter. In verse 17 through 19, he gives them a summons. Joseph instructs his brethren to go back where they came from and get their families. And I love that he said in verse number I'm looking for. I didn't mark the scripture. And he said, go get your little ones. It's in there somewhere. Amen. Read 19, thank you, Pastor. Verse 19, now thou art commanded this do, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones. Boy, I love that. I got little ones. And he said, in other words, I hope we get amen. He said, you go get your wife and you'll get your little ones and you bring them to where I'm at. He's talking to daddies, by the way. He said, daddies, go get your family and bring them back to me. Can I say this? Like just as Jairus went and got Jesus for his daughter, we need some daddies that'll, like Brother Joe preached, I think he may preach here, I can't remember, go get God. Bring. Somebody said, you can't go get God. Well, Jairus did. And so they go and get their families and they bring that summons. We have responsibility. There's a summons. But then, I love this, there's a supplies. He just didn't say, now go get your family and get there and get back the best way you can. He said, I'm going to pay for it. He said, I'm going to give you some wagons. I'm going to give you some changes of raiment. And he gave Benjamin more and a change of raiment. And he gave them each a change of raiment. Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and five changes of raiment. I wrote down my Bible right there. Sometimes God has his favorites. So I said, I don't believe that. Well, sometimes I feel like I'm one of his favorites because he's just pouring out blessings left and right. And whether you believe it or not, I think I'm his favorite. Somebody said, well, I think I'm his favorite. Well, we can argue about that when we get to heaven. We'll just ask him, praise God. But I'm telling you, you mamas, you've had your babies look come up to you. Who's your favorite? And you say, you're both of my favorite. And they know you're lying because you know you like the oldest one better. Because I told my mom and dad, y'all love me the most because y'all had me first. Yeah, you must be the oldest. Amen. How'd I get on? But he it's the problem, we have ADD. You just lose it, praise God. He sends them to go get their little ones and their wives and his supplies. He said, I'm going to provide. Oh, talking about being God's favorite, amen. I knew it'd come back to me. Can I say this? God's not expecting us to fit the bill. God will pay for it. We do something, I know y'all do here, faith promise missions. We reach in the world with the gospel, and God will give through us what he will not give to us. Amen. Let me say this. And I love this in reality. Them wagons pull up. He said, I want you to go get your family and bring them where I am. And ain't you glad when you got saved, God didn't say, now you get to heaven best way you can. Now you're saved. Now you get there best way you can. You know, Joseph told him, now stay with me now. Joseph told him, said, you'll get your little ones. And by the way, I'm going to send the wagons for y'all to ride in. Those wagons are a picture of the grace of God. They come to where they were and took them to where the sun was. Amen. It may have been a little bumpy on the ride, but they had a ride, praise God. Let me say this. I'm glad I believe in eternal security. Amen. I know some people that don't believe in it, but I believe in it, praise God. I like what one preacher said. He said, not believing in eternal security is believing like this, that God's going to an airport. I can't remember who I heard tell this. I can't remember if it was Joyce Myers or who it was, but anyway, said, I had to make sure some of y'all were still awake, amen. He said, like going, if you don't believe in eternal security, that's like going to the airport and buying a plane ticket. and said, I want to get on that plane. I want to fly to this destination. They said, well, you sure can do that. And he said, I walk up and show him my ticket. He said, all right, you're paid for. Here's your rope. He said, my rope? He said, yeah, we're going to tie it to the tail of that plane. If you'll hold on and hold out and endure to the end, you'll get to your destination. I hope everybody sings, ain't that depressing? Climb up the rough side of the mountain. If you sing that, that's my favorite song. Y'all have already put the offering, right? Amen. I said that one night, and they like sung it the next night. I'm like, ooh. But I'm glad I ain't got to hold out and endure the end. But I'm glad when I got the ticket, it ain't to be on the outside, but I'm on the inside. Christ, in fact, he's in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can't help it. I'm crazy. Amen. His supplies. I'm a hurry, and I'm about done. I've only been preaching 30 minutes. I'm about done. We find here the supplies, the summons. But can I close with this? There's the story. He said, see that you fall not out by the way. And boy, there's a message there. See that you fall not out by the way. And boy, I'm telling you, there's some that's fell out by the way. I've had some heroes of mine fall out by the way. And boy, I miss them, but I don't want to fall out by the way. I've had some dear friends that I love that's fell out by the way, and I pray for them to this day and pray that God would bring them back, and they don't have to get back, but at least get in church and live for God, and I pray for that, but yeah, exactly. You've had to sit on the back row and just back up a preacher. Just get back in, man. Can I say this? That's another reason I'm looking forward to heaven. Seeing some of my friends that got out, I believe they're saved. You ever thought about that? They fell out by the way. I believe they're saved. It'd be nice to be reunited with them again. I hope you don't take that the wrong way. I hope you know what I'm saying. See that you're falling out. He said, before you leave, I got a story to tell. Now, and every preacher in the world has preached this outline, but I won't throw it out. He said, first you tell him he lives. You tell him Joseph's alive. Now, I love this. Everybody's preached. I remember you saying your Jubilee at Pleasant Valley had like four preachers preach good news from a far country 4 straight years. Same out. He lives. He's Lord. He loves. He's loaded. He's longing. Amen. We've all preached it. If you hadn't, you will on the Sunday now. Amen. It's a good outline. But I love this. They go back to Jacob and they say, Daddy, Joseph's alive. Yeah. Jacob, he don't believe him at first. Yeah. Could it be Jacob said, no, I don't believe you. I saw that bloody coat. Yeah. I saw the blood all over that coat. I saw the bloody mess. There's no way he could still be alive. Yeah. They say, but Daddy, we've seen him on the throne. You know what this world says? We've seen that bloody cross. There's no way Jesus can be alive. But I'm telling you, I know he's alive. If you knew him like I knew him, you know he's alive and he's on the throne, praise God. Amen. He said, you tell me I live. He said, you tell me I'm Lord. He said, you make sure you tell him all about my glory. I'm glad he's God. He said, you tell him I love him. He said, I sent the wagons. I'm loaded. I've got everything they need and I'm longing. I want him to come. Yeah. Want him to come be where I'm at. Can I close? I saw this. You preachers know this. You'll study something out and you think you've got it where you want to preach it. And then I love when God does this. He'll throw something out while you're preaching it and let you see something. Boy, I saw this in Genesis 46. They're on their way back. They've got their wives at the city, their little ones, Pastor Griffith, and they're coming back to where Joseph's at. They're on the outskirts of the city. And I love this. Genesis 46 and verse number 28. They're riding them wagons. They're coming into Egypt. And he, speaking of Jacob, sent Judah before him unto Joseph. That was interesting to me. And boy, I read that and I saw something. What does Judah's name mean?
Praise.
In other words, Jacob said, send my praise to the sun before I get there.
Yeah.
Well, you missed it. Like Brother Dean was saying, I'm going to back that up and give you a chance to get it again. He said, I'm going to send my praise to get to Joseph before I ever get there. So I said, preacher, why do y'all shout and holler and scream and yell and run around? I want my praise to get to the sun before I get there. That's why I shout. That's why I sing. That's why I glorify God. I want my praise to get to heaven before I get there. And went up to meet Israel, his father. He doesn't say, now y'all pull up in the palace and meet me. I see a picture of the rapture. He come out to meet them.
Yeah.
You see it in the text? He went out to meet him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive, remain, shall be called up together within the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Glad he come out to meet him. And then I love this in closing, verse 29. And Jacob, and the Bible said, Israel's father to Goshen. He presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Will that not be like what it's like when we get to heaven? We'll fall at his feet. I know the Bible said he'll wipe away all tears from our eyes. I know people say, is that the white throne judgment? I don't know, but I know this. They wept a good while. They loved on each other. I said, preacher, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go talk to Peter, James, and John, talk to Paul. I'm going to find out who finally wrote Hebrews. By the way, I believe Paul wrote it. But we ain't going to do none of that. We're going to go to his feet, and we're just going to spend a good while there. You don't know how long a good while is. It's just a good while. And can I say, it will be a good while. How about you this week? I want to see him.
Amen.
I want to see God do something. I love your pastor dearly. He means the world to me, or helped ordain me to the gospel ministry. I'm honored to be here, and I just don't want to take up space this week. I don't want to fill a 35, 40-minute spot. I want to see him this week.
Amen.
I want to see God move in revival. I want to see the touch of God and the move of God. He's able.
Amen.
He's able. We've got to remove Egypt. Allow God to reveal himself to us. Ma'am, it's going to involve some weeping. Involve some worshiping. And we have a story to tell. Oh, I want to see him. I preached 36 minutes. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the word of God tonight. I pray that you take these scattered remarks, and Lord, I pray you put them together. Lord, if I left something out that I did not clarify, God, I pray you'd fix that for me. And thank you for the word of God. I pray, Lord, you help us to seek your face this week and see you move in a mighty way. Lord, we desire to see you move. Have your will and way. Bless the pastor and the invitation. Get glory to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, bad eyes.